15. I'm going to share with you just for a few moments about verses 12 through 19. In the letter written to the church of Corinth, here's what we find. Paul, in writing this letter, had to deal with a whole lot of problems in the church. In fact, he dealt with everything from the division in the church to the discipline to the gifts. He dealt with leadership. He dealt with marriage and a lot of different things. But the most crucial thing he had to deal with in the church of Corinth had to do with the resurrection. Now, the problem was all of these folks who had trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a part of the church of Corinth, having trusted the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, were now questioning the resurrection of the dead. They were trying to determine, is it really true? Is it something that can really happen? Who knows how they had been influenced? Maybe they'd been influenced by some of the folks, maybe some of the Jews. The Sadducees, a group of the Jews, didn't believe in a resurrection. Maybe they were influenced by them. Maybe they were influenced by Greek philosophy, who denied many of those things. And so what happens is that somehow, some way, this had crept into the church, and Paul is really puzzled because Paul's looking at this situation and he's thinking, how is it that you all have believed that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, something absolutely and totally necessary for salvation, yet now you question the resurrection of the dead? And so Paul's kind of scratching his head on this because none of it really makes sense. And nobody, including myself, likes to have to deal with doctrinal issues in the church. You like to think that we're all on the same page. You like to think that when we share the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can get amens because, quite frankly, we're all on the same page. We believe it. We know it to be true. But in this situation, Paul can't go in there and preach the resurrection of the dead because a lot of the folks were denying it. What a problem. So he had to deal with this very crucial issue, this very crucial doctrine, because salvation itself rests on the resurrection of the dead. The first thing I want you to see is this in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There is a lie that was being propagated somehow in the church that dealt with the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul, even in his unconverted days, was a Jewish Pharisee. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the dead. They believed that one day God would raise them up. He knew and believed in a resurrection. Paul's problem was he had not believed in the fact that Jesus Christ had been resurrected. On the Damascus Road, God dealt with his heart, dealt with his life, and it was there that he trusted Jesus Christ had resurrected, and he believed that and welcomed that into his life. And so that experience changed his life. By the way, for most of us, there has been an experience somewhere in your life. If you are convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I would hope that somewhere, somehow, you have experienced just that. My experience came when I was 12 years old. Salem Baptist Church down in Kentucky. After a revival service, I began to be convicted of my sins. I came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I say that, it's more than just saying I believe Jesus is God. I believe it's something more than that. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he arose that I might be forgiven of those sins and that I too might have life. Looking forward to the resurrection that I have in Jesus Christ. It wasn't as dramatic as Paul's. Paul's on the Damascus Road. Bright light shone all around and blinded him. It was a huge ordeal. Mine was not nearly as dramatic as all of that, but I will tell you this, it was every bit as miraculous because I was saved by the grace of God. And so when we look at this, keep in mind, there are folks that are going to try to deceive us in a lot of areas. They might try to get us to convince us of certain lies and certain things, but I got to tell you, the resurrection is one that we cannot mess up. We need to believe and we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is no longer in that tomb. You know, I can only imagine what Paul must have been thinking when they were questioning the resurrection. He must have been asking them questions about, in his mind, he must have been thinking about, what about the account of Jairus' daughter? Was she not raised from the dead? Do they not believe what took place back in the Old Testament with the widow of Nain's son? How about the resurrection of Lazarus? Did they not believe that Lazarus was resurrected from the dead? What of those that rose and walked when Jesus Christ himself was resurrected? Did they not believe it to be true, yet it was witnessed by all of those that were around? The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all believers stand and fall together. To say that there is no resurrection of the dead, you must also acknowledge, you must also say that the resurrection regarding Jesus Christ was false as well. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then there is also no resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can only accept one or the other. There you go. You can only accept one or the other. And so what we have to realize is if there's not a resurrection of the dead, then there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ. One lives and dies with the other. And so we have to look at that and we have to understand that. There are a lot of folks who will try to tell you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a lot of theologians, a lot of folks that say they're Christians, will try to tell you and try to acknowledge that the resurrection never ever occurred. I'm here to tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did not occur. We don't have a God to worship. We don't have a hope. We don't have a prayer. It all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are arguments for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even presented right here. In fact, what Paul does is he gives us three basic arguments, and that's kind of what I want to deal with this morning. When we look at these three basic arguments, the first argument he gives is this. He approaches it in regard to our faith. He says, picking up in verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Notice the implication. First thing, if there be no resurrection of the dead, the implication is that the resurrection is just a myth. The implication is maybe Jesus didn't rise at all. Maybe he's still in the grave. And I have to tell you that for those of us who believe God created mankind and with all the unbelievable wonders of our body and wonders of what we are, everything about us, and we're looking at the complexity of all of this, for us to think that God can't resurrect us, that would be a foolish thought. I mean, we look at society, and I find it comical that they claim falsely that you can change DNA and RNA, that you can claim that you can be something different. In evolution, they believe that you can make something from something that has no information regarding that individual. I'll give you an example. Cats can become dogs, or dogs can become cats. They make that claim. Can't happen. And it amazes me that they'll accept something as fictional as that and deny that God, who created all things, cannot resurrect us from the dead. There's a resurrection that can take place. And it calls into question our faith for us not to believe such a thing. Did you know that our bodies are designed to be constantly dismantled and replaced over 7 years' time? You don't have the same DNA. You have the same DNA, but you don't have all the same information you had when you was a kid. Your body actually changes. I don't look like I did when I was a little kid. I don't have all the same things. Everything doesn't work exactly like that. Each minute they tell me that 3 billion cells die and are replaced by new ones. God has designed us in that way. And that being the case, you don't tell me he can't resurrect me from the grave? To say that God, who created us, cannot change us, cannot resurrect us, cannot give us eternal life, cannot do all of those kinds of things is just, to me, pure nonsense. You know, the practical application to such a myth would be that the resurrection of Jesus Christ must have been a myth. If there is no resurrection of the dead, there could be no resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Is that not what he said? Now, here are individuals sitting there in their pews, and they're listening to him, and they're reading the letters, and they're hearing all that Paul has said in this letter written to them, and they're saying, we're children of God because we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Paul's saying, does that really make any sense? Because the two live and die together. Either you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ or you don't. Either you believe in the resurrection of the dead or Christ is not risen. So faith in Christ would be useless if he was still dead, and your faith would be vain. So when we think about all the witnesses and all the preachers of the resurrection, they would all have to be liars. He said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul's saying, hey, listen, all of us who have been claiming that Jesus Christ resurrected would have to be liars. So he's saying, okay, listen to me, Church of Corinth. When we came in here and established your body of work, your church, when we came in here and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, when we suffered as a result of all of that, preaching to you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if there's no resurrection of the dead, all of that would have been in vain. Why are you even meeting as a church? Why are you even gathering together? You have no faith. You've rejected faith. You've thrown that aside. You don't even trust the things that God has given you. I like what John Phillips tells us. He talks about a German pastor, and he says that this guy's Pastor Schutes. And Pastor Schutes was a refugee, a fugitive of the Gestapo. He was a wanted man. Just prior to his being wanted by the Nazi leaders, he was attending a rally that Hitler actually had staged. And the speaker was railing against the Jews really hard on this particular occasion. And he noticed Pastor Schutes in the crowd, and he looked at him and said, "You, man, are a fool." He says, "Fancy believing in a crucified dead Jew." Pastor Schutes, without even missing a beat, said, "Yes, sir, I'd be a fool if I believed in a crucified dead Jew. But I believe in the risen, living Son of God." Folks, we believe that because we know the only hope we have is in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he hath not, if the dead rise not. We're false preachers if the resurrection of Jesus Christ had not actually occurred. You know, Jesus told the apostles they were witnesses of these things at the resurrection. In the upper room prior to Pentecost, one was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed God, Christ. And based upon that fact, the person they chose had to be a witness of the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached this. He said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." After having been jailed, supernaturally released, Peter said this: "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree, and we are witnesses of these things." When Peter preached to Cornelius, and he told him this, he says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." Paul said to the Jews of Antioch, he told him, Antioch of Pisidia, he said, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people." What I'm saying is this, is all the way through Scripture, what we find is time and time again, there are those who are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, how can you not believe in the resurrection when Jesus resurrected and we are witnesses of all of that? Therefore, without the resurrection, our faith would be vain. No value. It would be empty. You know, we've even had in our day and time people who are scholars who think themselves wonderful and great and have studied the Bible through and through and or seem to be in many people's eyes theological greats, but they deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I have a real problem with that. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to preach. Our preaching would be in total vanity. It would be in vain if we did not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So to those who think, man, that is nothing but fairy tale, that is nothing but myth, where do you hang your hope? Where is your eternal life? Without the resurrection, faith would be of no value. He also approached it in this argument regarding our forgiveness. He says in verses 16 and 17, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am a lost sinner bound for hell. My only hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So without that resurrection, we have no hope. I mean, if there were no resurrection, there'd be a little difference between you and the Hindu or the Buddhist or anyone else that preaches and teaches whatever they feel like teaching. There would be no difference. We have a resurrected Jesus Christ who lives and reigns and makes intercession for you and I beside God. He is our Lord, our Savior, our only hope. You know, the message of the liberal will try to tell you that there is no resurrection, that Jesus was not God, that he did not die for your sins, that he did not conquer death. There is no promises that he could fulfill in all of that. He did not ascend to the throne room of God to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. He made no atonement for your sin. He is not your mediator, not your advocate, not your savior, not your redeemer. He will not rule and reign for eternity as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what the liberals will tell you. That's what those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ will tell you. And if that be the case, we would still be lost and dead in our sins, bound for hell for all eternity. I'm thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My forgiveness rests in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love all the songs, you know, at Easter time. And I tell you that because of the resurrection. Man, what greater songs can there be? I jotted down, Christ the Lord is risen today. Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids him rise. Hallelujah. Christ hath opened paradise. Hallelujah. My hope is in Jesus Christ, a risen Savior. He approached it also in regard to our future. He says in verse 18, then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there's no resurrection, folks that I've known all my life that trusted in Jesus Christ have no hope. They're dead and without hope. You know, I refuse to believe that. I have to tell you, it would have to say that all those who have died before me, who have proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, died as fools, believing a false hope. I don't believe that. Imagine attending a funeral and the pastor reads, I don't know, some well-selected passages out of the Bible somewhere, and then he shares some comforting thoughts to all the people, and he assures the family that everything is pretty well and everything is good. If Christ be not risen, they're all lies. There's really no comfort. Bunch of sugar-coated lies is all it turns out to be. But because we know, because we believe, and because we trust in a resurrected Savior, we know we have hope, and we know what he has done for us. You know, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we'd really have no future. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do as you please. Live your life any way you want to live it, because quite frankly, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it ends at death. The despair without the resurrection would be great. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, a lot of people preach that. God wants you happy in this life. God wants the best for you in this life. Your best life now, this is it. That's what they preach. Folks, I got news for you. This is my best life now. I am without hope. My best life is in my eternity with Jesus Christ. And all that he has provided for me and all that he has given me. He washed me and cleansed me and I am his forever. Yeah. Folks, it's not about this world. Amen. It's about what he has in store for me, the treasures that are laid up in heaven. It's about the mansions he's prepared and prepared a place for us. It is about all of that. And I look forward to that. Yeah. You know, I overheard a little bit of a conversation this morning. I didn't get the gist of it. I just heard a little bit. And it made me think about a couple things. And one thing that kind of jumped to my mind was talking about he goeth and prepare a place for you. And I thought about that. When I would go down to my grandma's house, I would go in and I'd have my little bag of stuff, my little duffel bag and that kind of thing. I said, Grandma, where am I going to go? You know, where am I sleeping? She says, well, I've got a room ready for you upstairs. That's just about the way she'd say, I've got a room ready for you upstairs. And you know, it made it so special because I realized that was my room. She had prepared it just for me. And I'd go up there. Man, she had, you know, because down there at nights, all they have is a coal stove and the fire would kind of go out at night. So you better hope you had 1,001 covers. I mean, she put, you sleep on that feather bed and then she'd have so many covers on it, you couldn't move. You was just there. It was everything you could do to push them off of you the next morning. But it was prepared for me so that I could be comfortable, so it would be exactly what I. She even had a little stack of comic books sitting next to the bed. It was designed just for me. Folks, without the resurrection, there is no place prepared for me. There is no place prepared in heaven for me. There is no place prepared in eternity for me without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would be of all men most miserable if this is all we had. You know, throughout the ages, people have suffered and died for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were separated from people they love, separated from personal wants, from desires, that they might do what God has called them to do. They might follow his will, all because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their life would have been squandered and thrown aside for nothing if the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not real. Folks, what we've preached about this morning, what they've sung about this morning, is a resurrected Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you that your salvation rests only in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Folks, you can go to the grave, and you can find a lot of folks that we love, folks that we care for, and they're still there. But Jesus Christ would not be in the tomb. He resurrected. He didn't just resurrect spiritually, he resurrected bodily. He's gone. He's not there. He lives in eternity. Folks, we need to understand that that's the promise he has for you and I. He fulfilled the promise in the fact that we see he's a resurrected Savior, which gives me confidence, gives me hope that I too will be resurrected. If you know Jesus Christ, it's because you believe and know in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you've trusted that into your life. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted that, let me encourage you today, don't leave here without welcoming Jesus Christ into your life. Without trusting that he died for your sins and he was buried and he resurrected from that grave. Today, can I encourage you to make those decisions? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And we're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment. As we sing that song of invitation, I want to encourage you to make the decisions God would have you to make. With no one looking around, all heads bowed, I want to ask you something. Are you here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've never made that decision to ask him to come into your life. And if you were to die today, you have no idea what would happen. Today might be that day where you can say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I believe that he resurrected, that I too might have eternal life. Maybe today you need to make that decision. If you're here today and you don't know that you know Jesus Christ, with all heads bowed, can I ask you to slip up your hand? In doing that, all I'm going to do is pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. I won't call your name. I just want to know who I need to pray for. Thank you for that one. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see. Anyone else? Anyone else who doesn't know Christ? You're sure you've never made that decision to ask him into your life? Maybe you're here today and you know Christ, but you look at your life and you realize, you know, there's some things really missing. I let some things go by the wayside. I'm no longer what I really ought to be. I've not served him as I ought to serve him. I need to get back to that place, and I need to get back to that passion to serve him as my Savior. Maybe that's you here this morning. If it is, can I ask you to slip up your hand just so I can pray for you? Anybody here? Dear Father, Lord, thank you for all that are here today. Dear Lord, I pray that for those who don't know you, they've acknowledged they don't know you, then Lord, I pray that you'll do something great in their life even today. Convince them of the sin and that their only hope is in Jesus, that they might trust you and know that their hope is in a resurrected Lord. Dear Father, I pray that today, whatever decisions we need to make, that this will be the very day that we'll not leave here until those decisions are made. It's in the name of our blessed Savior that I pray. Amen. Please stand with us if you will.